What's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire, and we are here for episode number 13 of the KTOD Radio Podcast. I'm here with my boys, fresh off the KTOD sleepover, Justin Desai. What's going on, buddy?
It feels weird to be back online with all the in-person hangs.
Seriously.
Yeah, I feel like a lot's happened these past 2 weeks since we've last did a pod.
Yeah, we've actually seen each other.
We have multiple times.
I hung out with Mike twice, which is crazy in real life.
IRL hangs, you know, right this game bringing friends back together, which I think is happening all over the country. Also got my brother Maddie, KTOD Maddie. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, classic little brother syndrome. Wasn't invited to the sleepover. I remember being a young lad, and Mike would have sleepovers in the downstairs, and there were these little ventilation, and I would open it up, and I would peek. Try to through the grates to try to see what him and his friends are doing. Justin, I was secretly doing it at your house, so that was the background noise that people heard on YouTube, was me trying to sneak into the party.
It's also where Dad yelled at us through those vents. This is Jason, go to bed.
That's also your wedding toast that I made was about those very sleepovers in your basement.
Man, that's good times.
Yeah, that was a wild night.
And then we got one of those hangs was at Steve's house where we cubed his cube and opened our boxes.
Yeah, that was sweet. It's nice to get the cube together. Probably about 90% foiled out right now. Thank you at TD Tata for shipping me some foils for that. My other boys here.
What about we shipped the foils.
Yeah.
It was dropping foils like crazy.
Yeah, we're good.
We're opening cards and just shipping you foils. And my youngest boy, we opened four boxes. And he opened packs for Maddie. He's six. He was opening like a maniac, like seven legendaries in a row with just straight packs because we were kind of like throwing them around. So they were getting scrambled and they weren't.
Yeah, we weren't even mapping it. Like he just had the hot hand.
Yeah, this was pre-map.
Here's a Poe. And he opened a legendary in the last pack of like all three of our boxes. We had like a crappy box and it was like last pack Poe. Okay, now the box is. He was jazzed about that.
He was killing it.
Your oldest also handed me one pack, and I opened it when it was a crate. And I opened one pack for Maddie, and it was a Poe. And I had to take my hands off the wheel.
I think you had those backwards, but yeah, it was.
You opened my only crate that I have, Mike.
Gotcha.
Although I have like six Poes because I bought some, and then I opened. Well, Henry opened some, so.
Good nice. <time. laughs> All right. Well, today we're going to talk about some set two event results. SCG Baltimore's next week. We're going to do predictions. We're going to talk about the box map issues and next top Gen Con. I think this is going to be our best episode ever because, like, this is what we've been waiting for. The game is real now. So we've got our first event results. There were two 1Ks yesterday. One of them was in Iowa, and it was 30 players. Boba Yellow swept Swiss, but Green Palp by Mickey D, one of our Patreon subscribers, took it down with Green Palp. Blue Boba in the quarterfinals.
No, he was working with a few people in that thread. He's been pretty active playing Palp since day one. So we've spitballed. Pakari in the Discord has also been spitballing. So it's been really a good like collaboration, but this is all him, baby.
Yeah, I got this image. He shouted out, if you look at the bottom, he shouted out Pakari and our thread. If you don't know, the Patreon Discord has threads for basically every deck, and like I didn't even know I'm sure I knew it existed, but I've never been in the Green Palp thread. There's just a million.
Come on down, baby.
That's the thing with the Discord is I feel like we kind of own various channels. Like Maddie, you own this one, and you've had like Iden for a while, and like Mike, you're in the yellow one. Green Sabine is like it's stressful at times to like manage it because the volume of it is so much. And it's one of the most popular decks, but I feel like I check that every day and like provide feedback.
Yeah, and it cycles. Like sometimes I'm into a different deck, so I'm hanging out in that channel, and I have some other ones muted. So anything shocking about this top eight before we delve a little bit deeper into that, Palp?
I found that set one, Yellow Boba, if they played a certain line, was really hard for Palp. But maybe with set two... there's a little more resilience. Like I've found certain matchups have changed. So that was interesting. I'm so pumped that he took it down in the face of kind of a, I wouldn't say it's as unfavorable as it used to be, but that's not an easy matchup. It's definitely not a slam dunk for Palp.
I'd say the surprise for me is zero Green Boba. I actually really like Green Boba right now. And I think it's, even though like as the meta evolved in set one, you know, you saw like it did have bad matchups at for, you know, that very first London event. It was like top eight green bobas or whatever. And like it, the meta evolved to be able to have some good angles, but it was still the boogeyman of like pretty much the whole season. So to see zero copies seems a little surprising, but again, only 30 people. So
yeah. And, but otherwise this is a pretty, I mean, obviously you got eight different leader based combinations, and Tarkin yellow, you know, normally an outlier, but has gained a lot of popularity in the last few weeks. So it's like, makes sense that people are going to be, someone's going to be on that. But yeah, I think this is a pretty widespread.
I'm surprised there's only one triple dark raid deck in the top eight, to be honest, because I feel like, at least in the Discord, a lot of the chat lately has been how great that card is. And to only see one deck actually make it there is pretty telling, I think.
Yeah, so Mike and I were loving it, and then like I think one thing that's happening with that deck is there is sort of like a psychological way to, like, you can gain value playing against it just knowing it exists. Like, it just, it had value, like, just completely blowing people out when, like, they'd be like, oh, you're Phantom, okay, whatever. And then you'd end up stacking counters on it and stacking it, and then you just win out of nowhere. Now I feel like, you know, the blue decks aren't going to be, like, resourcing, make an opening ever against you. They're going to maybe save a ship. They're going to think, wait a second, I need to have my ship ready for the ECL target. So we noticed in playing a lot of red boba, with triple dark raid, that it's not quite as adept. It's not even that people are hating it out, it's that like if you just sort of recognize you need to stop that plan from your opening hand, it does become an easier deck to beat.
And that's a good point of like paying attention to how things are winning and why, because like, you know, I mean, we saw it with like early in any set, like everyone plays the, you know, one deck because they think this matchup works a certain way. But once you find the line that you need, things can really flip. So that's why, like, whenever I hear about results, I ask, like, how people were winning and what was happening, so you can find different lines to try to, like, flip that matchup or whatever. I think that's, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah. Along those lines, too, I don't know if you have a slide for it or not, Mike, but I noticed in the OP, the organized play announcements, they're changing it so there's no open deck list for the open portion of the events.
I debated on whether or not we were going to talk about that stuff, but it's kind of a couple weeks old now, and I figured plenty of other people have. But no open deck list for Swiss.
I think that's actually a pretty big shift. That's something like a lot. Major impact. It also means that like now all your testing data is actually real data.
Yeah, exactly. Like, You can actually hide things.
Entirety of the game, it's like, oh, I got a deck, I want to try it. Okay, cool. And then you don't actually know the list beforehand, which up until 2 weeks ago you did. But now it allows you to like play on Karrablast and actually like get real results.
Also, like, just give me a couple minutes of my life back. Like, I don't need to see your list in round one, man.
I mean, that's just good. It'll make performance a lot smoother, too.
Yeah. It's also a Maddie buff, right? I won't get DQ'd.
Oh my god, that's true.
Fucking up, yeah.
The only one that can be Maddie is Maddie.
That's amazing.
All right, let's take a look at this palp list. Couple new inclusions: the scanning officer, Salacious Crumb, the enterprising lackeys, the unkillable 3/4 cost 5/5 Thinker. And the 3 cost Black sentinels. Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Sun and the Phase 3 Dark Trooper, but Maul in the board, Palp's Return in the board. Fell the dragon in the board, paying 6 for that.
Yeah, he talked about having answers to crate, and so he liked Fell there. And like, you know, other stuff like Wreckers and Pose and stuff like that. And then the Maul was just to make sure you can take out 7 health leaders, which makes complete sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, this list looks good. You know, it's got a lot of, it's got a great top end. Relentless for the other control decks, Devastator. 2 traitors for the Phantom Tie.
Yeah, Lurking Tie or these Tarkin decks.
Yep, I really like traitors.
I'm playing 2 in mine right now. Yeah, the one thing like I was a big proponent of early, and it's like the Phase Troopers and ERG, just to make sure you're always like having sentinels. I've kind of cut down on mine as I test things out, but I like that he went with this plan, especially early in the meta. You might be seeing more Sabine, and the thing that I talked about when I played Vader and other things is like runner sentinels is the best way to kind of stonewall those plans. So I like that he went with that.
Yeah,
the only card I don't understand is the 2-1 tie that puts a counter.
So I was going to say I like that because I think it's for the Sentinels.
To buff them,
and then you sack it with Pelt. So you actually get some value. It's only cost 2. You get some value. So I think it's mainly for that. I think like you could probably buff anything if it's convenient, but a lot of times for the Sentinels. And the tie LN is probably a concession to the Phantom because like you can just drop a tie turn 1 and they can't drop the Phantom unless they deal with it, which is like really good value for 1. Though I kind of like the one that draws a ship, the one that draws a card, I would prefer it, but in a tie Phantom meta, I think like the LN is pretty reasonable. Oh yeah, tie Phantom.
That's a good point.
Yeah. LN's also like a good late game cycle, you know, to get a ping. Like I think that's why Crumb's in there as well. But like later in the game, like playing something for one and pinging, you know, for the other one is way easier than trying to sack a
two. I know. Up. I just like it with the draw card one. I can't think of its name at the top of my head, but
yeah, the
being able to do a two
patrolling craft or whatever.
Always having to do a three drop.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think most of my testing is on aggro, and then like, you know, people on the tournament testing team will be like, this deck's really good, and it's like not aggro. And I like the blue boba that I played the other night on our feature match, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't totally feel comfortable because it's like you're in this sort of middle ground and you're trying to get to the late game. Like this deck is not playing any games. Like it's just, it knows what it's doing. It's ramping to the end. It's not trying to get like, you know, restock vigilance loop or anything like that. Like it has these huge guys at the top, it's got sentinels at the bottom trying to get beefy, and it's like I think pretty decent against control too, which is pretty cool.
Tested it
and it's definitely pretty good, hold its own.
Yeah, I mean when you ramp into relentless against control, that's nice. We used to be playing 3 when we got like a crazy control meta, that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this deck is sweet.
Devastator is one of the most fun cards to play too. Like just playing that card, shooting something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Especially with Piet.
Yeah, Piet. Did the ambush overwhelm?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously, like Walker Piet's a win con, but like, man, sometimes with that overwhelm ship, you just finish him off. It's pretty nice.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the other event? Oh, I've got. They did a giant check, Justin. I figured you'd get a kick out of that. You're a big giant check fan.
Oh, man, I love the check.
Yeah, so shout out to Mac, who took it down. So, and then there was another event. This one was streamed on the Take the Initiative YouTube, if you want to go check that out. I'm sure the VOD is there since it was on YouTube. So we get to watch the whole tournament and four Mono Bobas in the top 8, and including great. Taking it down versus Old Han.
Yeah, those
Do you know how many people were in this one?
They're not in the top 8, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it was 20.
Okay. So, again, another small sample size, but people... I mean, Yellow got a lot of tools, and people are really liking Mono Boba right now. And it makes sense.
Bobby Sapphire is still defining the meta months later.
It's happening. Let's take a look at that list. Yeah. A lot of new additions here. You get the Bazine, you get the Merc Gunship. Still a shoot first, which I like, has 1 Lurking Tie, 1 Relentless Pursuit. I really like 1 Relentless Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, pretty standard. Got the Gamble Guards, the switch to the Syndicate Lackeys.
Yeah,
I think Syndicate's a good call, especially with the new rule.
I like the 1 Phantom Tie there. Like, if you draw it, it makes people like kind of play weird. You've got like an interesting angle there. That's kind of nifty. I like that
because you can't have too many 3-cost ships, right? But like, you do want a like another option.
Yeah, there's just so many 3-cost cards.
Yeah, it's tough.
I dig it.
No, this is cool looking. This looks good.
Yep, Zuckuss and Forlom in the board. Got the Boba armor in the board, which I really like. A Final Showdown in the board, which that's I hot. Love. I wonder if the winner is a subscriber because I've had one of Final Showdown in my board posted. For a while, obviously it's, you know, anyone can come up with that, but most people are pretty down on that card, but I think it's pretty cheeky against control to just try and steal a game if it works,
especially in the no open deck list life,
right?
I love the game in the foil on the board, and that's cool.
Yeah, Relentless Pursuit, are you just always using it with Boba? Because that's kind of how I've played it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do others, but like I feel like that's such a
Think unless like, you're really in a jam. Like yeah. if they throw a Darksaber on Poe or something, you're gonna fire it off.
It's not,
but otherwise
it's not terrible on like three cost Boba, like, giving the shield and then like letting him kind of like really go to work, especially like post board if you've got the armor too on him and like they're not a bounce deck or something.
Oh right, you can just put it on him.
And also yeah, like fine on the defender too, which already has a shield. So like you're kind of getting the value there. You don't need it to have a shield.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's already protected. Gotcha.
But I think most of the time you're looking for Boba.
Yeah, and giving the shield to then set up your cunning, right? Because like getting rid of a shielded guy is like hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I like that. I was running two, but I wasn't really pairing it that way. But I like the 1-1 split because sometimes it's just kind of dead.
But yeah, I like all the, you know, stock list callouts. Two probe droids, you know, like it's just still got all the old stuff and then just made some room for new stuff.
Yeah, 13 turn one plays is cool too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the biggest surprise to me is no McClunky. We had so much talk about that when it was first spoiled, the card for Boba.
Yeah, we found that it's tough. You don't like it takes guys off the board where you want to just be pushing.
Yeah.
Is the hardest part. Like it's nice when you have Greedo, but a lot of times Greedo isn't living in the current meta because so many things ping.
Yeah. I also wonder too, like it's good against a like something like Sabine, but theoretically you were never really having as much of an issue there. So like, why do you bring it in? You know?
Yeah,
it's good against the 3-3 Sentinels, but I don't know how prevalent they are in the meta. But I like McClunky as a sideboard card for sure.
Yeah,
because it's good against bounties too.
Yep. Yeah, if we see a rise in bounties, you see a rise in McClunky for sure.
Yeah, just a good deck though. I like
it.
Yeah. All right. And then a wild Han deck runner up. A lot of two ups here. Kira, Sundari Peacekeeper, DJ Tech, Bright Hope is a two. I would personally run that as a three. Spark of Hope is a two. I think that should be a three. Only one Cloud Rider and three Greedos. So, yeah, pretty wild list to make the finals. A lot of everything.
Yeah, a lot of everything. You don't oftentimes see the two of Battlefield Marine index.
Yeah. You know, I did a Han video last week, and I've been playing a little bit of Han, and I really am just high on the Cloud Rider in that situation. Like, just get the three damage in, ideally kill something and move on. This is a lot of low drops.
Yeah.
Probably, maximizing U-Wing, I guess, and, like, not getting too much into it, but then you can still, like, have your numbers right for U-Wing.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I feel like some of the utility cards you'd want the two ofs. And you'd want three Battlefield Marine because it's just like, you know, the most consistent, best play you can be doing on with two resources. But yeah, that's the only thing I've seen is like when I play U-Wing decks, I have weird, funky numbers on like all main deck one Ackbar and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think like playing the one ofs works. It's just all the two ofs are just kind of weird and all the low drops are kind of weird. But I love the Luke Skywalker for the free off U-Wing. Or, you know, nine if you get to nine. I like Marauder quite a bit. It kills basically everything in space. You can do it a turn earlier with Han if you need to, and it can ramp you, which is another reason why I don't like all these inconsistent numbers, because I would rather just have a bunch of the same stuff so that I could trigger my Marauder.
I think one of the reasons possibly with the two on the Battlefield Marine is one of the – I've been trying to do a – Han list where you play almost no two drops, because like the power level of the three drops in this set have just spiked so much. Like you have so many better 3/5s now. Like your turn one play, if you can drop one of those, it's always just going to outclass playing your 3/3/2 drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like tech combo soft though, two of those, which is interesting.
Yeah, like if I'm playing Han, I think my turn one, I always want to be dropping the three drop, especially.
Possibly. Are you playing Ezra? Because this isn't, but I which is interesting.
I was playing Ezra. Like the list, I haven't really gotten far with what I've been doing.
Yeah.
But what I've been trying to do is just play no two drops. Like turn one is always a three drop.
Yeah.
Whether it be the Falcon, Ezra, DJ.
Yeah. I like Ezra because you kind of get that card advantage back, but you run out of cards pretty quick when you're doing it a lot. But yeah, I don't hate it.
Well, it kind of works in the three drop plan, right? If you have a ton of three drops, because then
you don't have to do it the following turn.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the idea. Like three drop turn one, three drop turn two,
Yeah.
And then on turn four, you can go to five. Like the lists I was playing had almost 0-4 drops in it.
Interesting.
And 0-2 yeah, drops.
I like this list. Other than some of the things we pointed out, like I like the game plan. I'd like to say, like, playing things like Spark with Kira to kind of like set up and protect your Han, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important to like be on the game plan, and then like, or if you have a shot at doing the tech DJ combo, like that's another way to like protect that. Mm-hmm. So other than like kind of nitpicking the numbers a little bit, I think this is like a really cool list, and I like some of the inclusions there.
Cool.
Han's still good.
Ooh. All right, so we're going to talk, like, so we've got two cash events, and then I asked everyone to do their predictions for the top eight SCG Baltimore coming up this weekend. You know, the first SCG, which should be a monthly cash event on the SCG, the Star City Games circuit. So, yeah, we'll just fire these off, and, you know, Steve, you're up first. Your prediction was Kira, a green Kira, green Boba, two red Rey, two green Sabine, yellow Boba, green Han.
Yeah. You know, like after, so I did this last night, and then looking through the slides before the pod we started up today, I was like, oh man, there's so many yellow Bobas. Like maybe like green Boba is just dead. But I think there's too many tools now to like not try to expand a little bit. And my hope is that for this tournament, people are going to try some new things while still falling back on the old. Like I think Sabine, while it's not probably one of the best top three decks in the meta right now, it still has that ability to just like nut draw and just win out. So I think if enough people play that, one of those will sneak in. I really do like the Han green version, but I don't know.
Would you make any changes after going through the last two events?
There's only six up here, right? Didn't I have...
No, you have two Rey, two Sabine. I have a couple doubled up.
Two Rey and two Sabines. Oh, I'd probably slot an Emperor green in there.
Instead of what? Nice. Like a Rey?
Yeah, probably instead of one of the Reys or instead of one of the Sabines.
Cool. Mine was similar then. I had one Bossk. Is this mine? Or did I do...
Oh, no. Yeah, dude. I just looked at my DM. That wasn't my picks.
No, did I reverse them? I think that was mine. Is this one yours?
That one's mine.
Okay. I did the names wrong.
That's why I was a little confused trying to improvise.
Because you said, yeah, because you see, yeah, that's funny.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, you did good improv.
Yeah, thanks, you did. I'm
not cutting this.
I labeled them wrong. No, no, for sure. I can't fix it. Yeah, so all right. So this is yours. I guess like since we looked at the previous slide, mine, I would probably cut one of the Rays for one of the yellow Bobas, but otherwise like I think it's pretty like accurate representation of what I just expect the meta to be and, you know, rise to the top, but usually one outlier. I just didn't make a bold claim on the outlier. All right, so this is yours. You had two Kira.
Ooh.
Vader, Palp, Red Han, Green Han, Green Bossk, Green Boba and Red Rey. All green bases, all ECL bases except for the red Ray.
I think I obviously don't play as much constructed as the rest of you guys, but from reading all of like the tournament testing team chats, I really think there's a lot of room for new decks that people haven't seen, and I think people may not have necessarily played it this past weekend because they're just 1Ks. But I think if people are definitely going to be trying something new for Star City Games, and then hopefully we get some spiciness out of it.
Nice. All right. So hopefully I get this one right. And this is Maddie's. Maddie, you had a Vader in yours, right?
Yeah. Let me double check the work. Double check the DMs. No, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I think like two things are going to happen at any like big event. Like people are going to try new stuff because it's you know new and exciting, and that's why I have two Sabines in there. I think there are going to be Sabines that just hit the right matchups, hit some of these control decks that are trying to go big, or hit some of the, you know, the sea of randomness and just steamroll people. I think her demise is a little overstated, but you know, I don't think she has like the stronghold that, you know, she once had. And then Yeah, like I think Boba leader is just so cracked that like you can play him any which way.
You have one of every the yellow and green. Actually, for the audio listeners, I should just say Maddie's pick was one blue Boba, one green Boba, one yellow Boba, two green Sabine, one green Kira, one green Palp, and one green Darth Vader.
Yeah, you've got the borders. It's a little hard to see, but if we point them there,
like, for watching,
It's for people that are just listening.
Oh, gotcha.
Like you can play Boba any which way. I think that I think seeing the results, I think people are going to be thinking that Boba yellow is the deck to beat, and so playing things like Vader and blue Boba, and even Palp. Green. I know, Palp to kind of combat that. And then just like I'm surprised we haven't seen a Kira yet. I think she's like just such a strong upgrade over the blue green archetype that we had in set one. Like in set one, you had to either go Krennic and try to like play this ECL game, or you'd go Iden and try to kind of like go a little bigger. Now, like you just like Kira does it better than both. She deploys on five. She can kind of match other leaders. So that's kind of one that I'm not out on a limb on, because I think you guys are also seeing it, but that's one that I expect to rise in popularity.
Cool. And then we got Justin's. Justin has the Soul Cad. He picked Cad with blue, Kira green, two green Bobas, two green Sabines, a green Palp, and a yellow Boba.
Yeah, I really think that green Boba is going to kind of make its mark the next couple of weeks. I think it's really strong. I think we'll start seeing some lists. You know, the thing is, we haven't seen like a list to sort of go on, but some of the lists that I've seen of, you know, we've been working on are really strong. Cad blue is kind of like a weird one here. I just think there's something there with the ping and sort of like that control variation, but also being able to play a lot of units. One of the issues that I have with blue Bobas is like the units, you know, you don't really have a ton. And Cad gets to play a lot of units and maybe even playing like Zuckuss and Zuckuss and Forlom, and like those guys are, you know, attacking, or Forlom's are essentially doing five damage, not just four. I like a lot of the things that are happening there. I also have the Kira. I think kind of what Maddie said, I think Kira's really, really strong. I think the green ramping Palpatine's really good. If I had to switch it based on like what I saw, maybe I'd go a second yellow Boba and just one green Boba, just because people are kind of leaning towards yellow Boba right now. But, you know, the Bobas get a lot of tools in the new set, like the green ones with, you know, you've got Maul to look at now, you've got
Commission's so good.
So good. And I just definitely think we'll see a rise there with green Boba.
That's the interesting thing about this too. It's like, what do we think is good, but then what do we think people are gonna play? How are they gonna interpret? So there's a lot of like moving parts here. It's which makes it fun. Like that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah, we'll have to revisit this next week pre-Gen Con to see if we've nailed it.
Yeah, we can do a lot of reaction content to our own.
Cool.
Content.
So that was our meta discussion, both, you know, checking out this weekend's events and predicting next weekend's events. And then we'll have to see at Gen Con what happens next. So the one thing I want to talk about briefly before we get to Patreon questions and Gen Con is just the box mapping going on. Obviously, this has been like a hot topic the last couple of weeks. Just like these are the sort of some of the images that I used to try and map my boxes, which is just like looking at pictures of people who post their picks in order by the column of packs. And then there's some spreadsheets going around that actually correspond, where you actually look at the wrapper to see which character is on the wrapper, and it tells you if it's the right run or not.
That's kind of crazy.
Take this with a grain of salt, because Mike walked me through two of these boxes in our public Discord the other day, and we bricked every single one of them.
Not true. I called the Poe exactly.
Yeah, you called the one Poe. The one Poe you called.
Yeah. So what? I know we're going to get into it, but
we wasted a bunch of packs.
You were going to open those packs anyway, buddy.
Yeah, you were going to go the whole distance. Oh, one thing that I
would have stopped opening.
Yeah. That's why I'm holding the rest of the boxes. You should give me the rest of your boxes, actually.
Yeah, right.
Look, I have this right here, and I have absolutely no temptation to open it.
Whenever I'm feeling down now, I just open a pack.
Open a pack.
I'm opening a lot of packs.
So he's out, obviously.
I will say, like, even though this issue happened, like, it's still fun. Like, it was fun being in there and being like, go five down and this is a Poe, and like hitting is like kind of crack. I think that I mean, maybe we're just positive people, but like,
anybody wants to buy loose booster packs, hit me up.
Yeah,
I got plenty for you.
Well, that's the issue, is like, you can't necessarily feel safe buying a booster pack.
Right.
You can't really like ethically justify selling your extra booster packs.
Right. If you just map and then like take all the good stuff and then sell the loose ones, that's kind of crap. That's like, yeah, it stinks.
Yeah.
But saving them for draft is fine. Like,
yeah, it'd be like non-legend drafts, and you kind of like know that going in, which is a little poop, but
non-legend drafts. Drop off and then karma gets you.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they're still showcases. They're still hypers, like, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'd honestly, like, if I was playing in a draft, I'd love for to know that no one's gonna have a Poe to like wreck my day.
Yeah. At the same,
go ahead.
I say at the same time, I went to a draft and someone opened a Poe first pick and was like, "I got a Poe," and then I was like, "Man, I hope I get the crate." And it wasn't me; it was the guy across from me. So like, you just know, you know the run.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Unpack and pack for showcases, anyways. Yeah. Who we can?
That's the only reason why I might crack my last box is like. You opened your whole case, you and Justin, and there was no showcases. We've opened three boxes from the other case. We've got two stashed for the team for drafts at Gen Con, and I've got one here. And like,
cracking right now. Let's go.
Yeah, I would say to people, like, the drafting of this set is so fun. Like, don't like, just save them if you're worried about it, or if you know the run, whatever.
Yeah,
we're gonna have some draft videos. I just want that out. Showcase. I think showcases are cracked. I mean, you should open them. Just play games with them.
Yeah, let's do another meetup, and we can do a 2v2, like a proper 2v2 with Pat.
I would do that.
That's fun.
I'm down.
All right. So, Patreon update. We've got all the shirts in. That's my wife's car with all the shirts in. I've got six giant boxes of shirts. We've got the coins. We're sending out the form. Actually, we need to do that today, Justin, right after we record. Yep. And so people are going to start getting their rewards pre-Gen Con and at Gen Con. This is – oh, no, I don't have the shirt on. I wore the green shirt today. Maddie's got the shirt on.
I got the shirt on, and I got the coins right here. I keep them right near me at all times.
So quick informational update. Any Patreon members who've been with us for a while, definitely check your email because we want to make sure we have the right information for you on the swag. Also – update on the stickers. The QR code was kind of a bust, so we made a few adjustments, but the stickers came out great.
The stickers are fire. I'm excited.
In the boxes. I ended up getting scammed on the QR code, had to cancel my credit card, but all is good. After hand cutting stickers, 500 of them, we've got really cool holographic stickers.
And we'll be giving those out at Gen Con.
At Gen
Con. Cool.
Booyah. Yeah, that was a, you know, we made lemonade, right? There's no QR code, but they're still pretty dope.
Yeah. Also, I bought a thermal printer for all this shipping stuff. So we are at 899 Patreon subscribers, paid subscribers.
That's awesome.
I was hoping. Now I kept my email open the whole time, hoping we get to 900. You know, last time on the pod, I asked for a push to get to 5,000. We hit 5,000, and we have just kept cranking 200 past really that on YouTube. So,
and really, like, active new members too. There's been a few people who come in, like, hit the ground running. Mike, you posted like a welcome video.
Oh yeah, I did make a video that kind of gave people a rundown on how to use the Discord. I think that really helped.
That was huge because now that we're so big and there's so many channels, it can be a little intimidating when you get in here and you're like, all right, what should I actually sign up for? Like, where do I go? So if you sign up, if you're a new user, definitely hit up Mike's video that kind of walks you through the various channels. Because even for us, I think sometimes we're like, wow, there's just so many channels to check
there's
in on.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I should definitely watch that video.
You should. The other thing I was going to say too is I think at some point we'll make it free just so people can see like everything there is before kind of signing up.
Yeah.
Because it's really remarkable like where this started and where it's kind of gone and like having new people come in and like you said, like hit the ground running, like, you know, a call back to like the deckless channels with the, you know, the Sabine, the two Sabines kind of melded. We got people from the yellow Sabine coming into the green one. That's kind of taken on a new life. Like the 1K winner shouting out the like. There's just so much going on. I'm talking about Wheel of Time with some people. Yeah. Pokemon TCG.
We might have to do something if we club. Get to 1,000 though. Well, yeah, we movie club too. We were giving away. We were giving stuff away for 100 and 150 because we were like, oh my god, this is huge.
Only Vader. I still don't have Vaders from set one.
So I've been actually, now that you bring that up, I've been stockpiling things to give away at some point, whether we do an in-person meetup, whatever. Foil Avenger, Hyper Foil, what is this called?
Millennium Falcon, yeah.
Not giving away this, but I got Palp Daddy. A Hyper Foil Vader, the Con leaders I still have. So I've been actually stockpiling stuff to give away. I just want to make sure it's the right time.
Can I win Vader? Am I a member?
No, you can't win.
You can sign up. Yeah. All right, let's get to these questions. What if Mephisto, what decks are you interested most in working right? What decks are you most interested in working right now? I've been working mostly on the yellow Boba, but I need to I've been struggling into Sabine, so I need to switch gears. I'll probably start working on Kira a little bit because I haven't gotten enough games with it yet.
Did you mean yellow Boba or blue Boba?
I meant blue Boba.
Yeah.
Okay. You said yellow. But yeah, gotcha. I'm like sort of at a flux capacitor spot where like I have the decks that like I'm more experienced with, like Sabine. So like kind of as like not a backup, but like, okay, if my other ideas don't go well, I've got like a solid Sabine. I've got a solid yellow Boba. That Palp deck's intriguing. But then I've got Kylo is something I'm really been working on a little bit. I've been trying to make it work. I had the all space one. I had a Toro list. Right now I'm trying to work on green Kylo with commission. And what's the reanimator card called? The Palpatine.
Somehow Palpatine is returned.
Somehow. That card's like really fascinating me right now with Kylo. For a couple different reasons. The discard ability and also the ability to like be able to make your deck like with a higher top end because you can just discard the low end, like discard it if you're pumping.
Yeah.
So that's my new weekly experiment. Maybe I'll post a video with some ideas coming up shortly.
Yeah, it's too bad we had our our Kylo chat before. You know, but it's cool to kind of pick your brain and see where you're at because that is definitely I think green red villain, preferably a red leader. So your Vaders, your Kylos, your GIs, your Bossk with the ECL has been my kind of way to attack that. I think it's got a lot of good tools in this set, and it was good at the end of the last set. I was a big blue green villain guy, so Kira and Palp are two that I'm working on there, and then you know, a little bit of Vader,
a yellow Jabba. Not so much using the bounties to necessarily focus on ramping, but more so just to get some value. Get that 3/4 bounty hunter that drops down for two. Playing the 4/3 bounty hunter that gets a shield when there's a bounty. I found it really strong, like going turn one Evazan into him on turn two. Just all those shields, you can really start to get in there. And the other thing I've been working on is some type of a Han list. We are always just starting with that 3-drop that I mentioned before.
Steve, I got poked by that Jabba a few times.
Did you? Yeah. There's some really cool things.
You had me like, at Dryden Voss.
The turn 7, like, play Jabba, then play Dryden and play their guy. Like, that's been absolutely silly.
Yeah, talk about insane leader flip turns. Like, that, you know, how do you beat that? Yeah. Like, that seems
especially insane. Against these decks that are, you know, trying to go a little bit bigger with their Creed Dragons or their... Poe's Wreckers. Like,
I've played on Jabba a lot. It's really rough, raw at the moment. And I think there's some avenue there for Jabba to be competitive. It's just not quite there yet. Or at least I haven't figured out the right combination of stuff. But I like it.
All right. This is from Mickey D, the guy that won the 1K earlier. After playing some games, which cards have your opinion swung the most on from when they were previewed till now? For me, I was super high on Evazan, but after a few games, I've cooled way off on that card. We've kind of like swung both ways on that card. It's good. Yeah, it's bad. It's good.
I'm still not sure.
I would say probably for me, it's McClunky, but also like I think I might be wrong about McClunky, sort of the way about Dr. E. Like I think I was super high on it, then super down on it, and probably need to fall somewhere in the middle.
I think the blaster is like good, but it's not like quite as amazing as I thought. It's just hard to find deck room for it, and mm-hmm. like the three cost later on in the game, like it's not quite the same as the other cards that, you know, sort of the impact I thought it would have. That's the one for me. Triple Dark Raid is one that like I keep going back and forth on. I think it's amazing sometimes, but then there's just times where it's not. I mean, it's variance, right, with seven cards. Try to make that work. I think it's certainly a major player.
Yeah,
it's not sure how broken it is versus how like Stuart have to accept the variance. And it's good, but it's not always going to do the broken things.
For me, it's definitely Bossk. I mean, when we first did that pod with good, bad, or broken, I was like, there's no way anyone's playing this card. And now I have him in my top eight for Star City Games Baltimore.
Yep.
So happy to admit.
The leader, yeah.
But yeah, goddamn.
Yeah, I didn't even think of leaders, but yeah, that's a good one.
I guess,
man, here I'm like going through my list, and like one card I still like this card a lot, but it takes a lot of deck building resources, is Django. Like I think he's still very good, but like the problem that I have with Django is you have to play the bounties or play him in like Jabba, but then you don't get ECL. So like to make him good, you generally need bounties, you generally need ECL, and he eats up a lot of deck building slots. And then like really what he's doing for you is like he's getting you like a very incremental like 2.5 for 1 at best. Like he's killing something and drawing you a card, but then he's getting traded back on pretty easily. So I would say like I was a lot higher on Django.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even though I'm playing him in a bunch of decks.
I really liked Aphra, and I still think there's a place for her, but I think right now, not quite there. I thought there would be more to do.
I thought she was going to get more friends, right? More
stuff. Yeah, that's true. Even when the school set was spoiled, I just thought like milling yourself fast could be great. But the fact that you can't turn that mill off at the end sort of makes things a bit complex.
Yeah. All right, next one, buying boxes versus buying the card you want. This was my first TCG. I have access to buy some boxes, but I'm unsure if it's better to buy boxes or just buy the cards you need to complete the set. I enjoy the fun of opening packs, but see, like, that's the thing. Like, I hate opening boxes. I hate buying boxes. Just give me my singles. That's it. But I know you guys are box openers.
I think the answer to this question is, like, what are your own personal goals and what do you actually find fun? So, like, for instance, like, in a lot of games, there's some people who want to like win worlds, right? Or like win the biggest tournament. And there's other people who want to play a lot and like the local experience. There's other people that like to collect and like the feeling of like opening a showcase or what have you. Like that showcase that you opened even has more significance than when you might buy on eBay or something. Because like you remember when you opened it. So I think like there's no great answer to this on a universal scale. Like you should just do what you want to do. Like we had a great time. I opened 4 boxes with my kids. We had a wonderful time. We ended up doing, I did a bunch of trades the next day and turned like hyper rares and hyper foils into like the legends that I needed. I traded for 7 legends that next day online and got some hookups as well. Shout out to Carl Perlas for some sweet hookups. But like, then there's Mike who like knows exactly what the cards he wants. And he's also opening packs, right? So I think if you're trying to like actually build a deck, probably buying like on TCG Player is great. Like if you're looking at some of the lists that we've published and it's like, okay, I need to make that deck, don't, if you're trying to make a specific list, it's better to buy on TCG Player.
Sure. And you know, he says, how many pack boxes would you need to buy 3 Poes? Like you could open a 10 boxes and not get 3 Poes. So like
So if you're trying to get Poe, buy them on TCG.
Pick a number of boxes.
I've opened 10 boxes and I've only gotten one of those double green lackeys, and I've still gotten no. The only answer is just to make it rain more pack wrappers, baby.
No way.
Add some more boxes.
Listen, get like 2 to 3 boxes will get you a place at a commons and uncommons for the most part. So like 3 boxes, see how many Poes you get, like pick a couple decks like Justin said, and buy the rest of the legendaries. But if you're opening boxes just to find a Poe, like you should not be doing that.
Right. Yeah, don't do that.
Are you in the Cape or Worcester today?
I'm in Worcester right now.
You want to meet up? Boxes?
My boxes are in the Cape. I'd be cracking otherwise.
You'd be cracking right now. Yeah, I'm That's only really going to open echo mine. The same sentiment. Is like if you're trying to do it on like a cost-effective standpoint, it's always going to be buying singles. Like,
you
and like
crack that now, I'll give you the $100 and I get to keep the cards.
No, because there's a showcase in here. I can feel
there's
it.
There's definitely a showcase floating around. Like, I stocked the pose on TCG just real quick, and I got them at like 38 a pop, and I thought that was a really good deal. Now they're in the 50s. And three of my four sellers came through. I'm waiting on the last. So it's pretty good. I bought an extra one just to be sure, which is fine. But like, I remember being 12 and like having to like scrounge for cards. So like now, I'm opening boxes all day, baby, but that ain't the most effective way to do it.
You mean being 12 and going to F&M and me buying a box a week and you taking all the cards?
I did. That's why I throw you so many rares now and stuff, because I traded his, was it a Chrome Mox for like,
What are Chrome Moxes worth now?
I don't want to know.
Steve, you want me to, should I crack this? I'm not going to crack the whole box right now, but. You want me to open a pack?
Wait. Crack a pack. Crack a pack and let's see the map.
Yeah, let's see. That's a good one. Right. Crack
Steve,
one pack.
Show backyard break style.
All right. I'm not giving you $100.
No. Box so cutter.
This is not Steve's box.
This is not Steve's box. This is my box.
Wait, okay. Wow. This is my box.
Starting on the right, top pack.
Oh, he's going to get a showcase. This is content, too, so you know what?
All right, not a showcase. We've got a Mandalorian armor. It was a bow pack with the Mandalorian armor. You guys are going to have to talk.
I don't. So you look. Like,
I've got
the
Mando
that,
armor with a Poe. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I've got the Mandalorian armor in every single one of my boxes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When I opened mine, I didn't look at the wrapper, and the wrapper didn't affect me at all.
Yeah, it didn't affect me either, and I was able to find that Poe and the crate. Without looking at the wrapper. But.
So I think that there's a Mando armor within Stone's. It's not Snoke's or Kylo's. Also, we got to. I know this is on. Somebody break Kylo. I opened so many of those guys. He's not bad, but.
So,
actually, you know, Kylo might be one of an overrated.
Poe is a couple cards above Mando armor on one of these charts. If this is a Maul, then I have a bad box.
Okay. Only have two malls, so
yeah, but there's the thing.
It could be a showcase. Here's the other thing. Okay, so it's a can I just say one thing? I've noticed that sometimes like half the box is mapped. Ooh, I want that. Actually, that should go in the cube.
Bounty
Hunter. It's hyper foil though.
Oh, okay. That's a card that I freaking love right now is the Bounty Hunter's Quarry. I think that card is silly.
Is this the DJ Overwhelming Legion 13 card is box?
I don't
know. This is the final showdown box. See?
Yep.
Oh, you just ripped it. Look at that.
See, you said I was bad at this, but I'm not. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So the only explanation is you were sandbagging me that time.
No, I think you had what I had, which is you had one half was mapped and then the other half was mapped differently.
What's the other legend, Mike?
Because I had that. I had my box was
so
split.
I'll have Rule with Respect. And which I don't want to open. My next card is a Django, which I did order some Djangos. So
yes, you probably don't need it.
Everybody give my third Django to Steve.
Save them for draft. We'll draft them.
Yeah, we'll draft them. The only thing is,
I want to know if it's my box or not.
The only thing is, like, that only shows one column, so I'm just gonna open the top on the left column.
I was gonna say, open the other column.
What's on there? And we can see. It is a Migs Mayfield, which is two after Rule with Respect. So I can't.
So you're a full mapped box.
Nah, it's still. I've got to figure out. I've got to go two down because the next below that will be Tech. Oh, actually, I need a Tech. So I'm going to open my Tech and I'm going to open one more.
Opened a Migs into a Tech, so that makes sense, actually.
Tech.
Yep.
And then we'll see if this tells us what other box we have. Because that's the bottom of the box right there.
Right, so then it'll
Desperate
flip.
Attack, Hyperfoot, Unrefusable Offer.
Oh, that is... Where is that? If you go back to your slide a few ago, it's mapped there, I think.
Yep.
But that was at the bottom, I think.
You know, as soon as I get back to the cake, I'm cracking some packs now.
It's like an addiction.
Unrefusable Offer.
I opened my first box, ripped a Ray showcase, live stream in the Discord. Only one person was watching.
But it was Symbiote.
It's funny. Yeah. Oh, so that's like he's equals 100 people. I screenshotted everyone, but like, man, some nights there's like freaking 30 people in there barning like a either a game or a stream open it, you know, cracking packs. It's so good. That's my favorite stuff.
I can't find unrefusable offer anywhere on any of these charts.
I can try to help. Hold on.
No, it's all right. I don't want to hold up the pot a ton.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you kind of demonstrated how it works. It's unfortunate that you don't have like the sickest. I think you're near within the eye shot of like maybe. No, I don't think you're near
so
like Kylo
the,
or Snoke.
The thing is, it goes Migs, Kylo, unrefusable offer.
Okay.
Tech. And so, like, I don't have the Kylo one. I have the other.
Right, one, right.
And I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah. I had that one. But then my box also gave me a Snokey.
I wouldn't hate having a Snoke. All right, you guys do the next question. How do you feel about updated tournament rules? What do you feel still needs to be updated? GD, JT.
So, I mean, I think we talked about it, and I don't remember all the rules out of my head, unfortunately. But I think we agreed that we like no open deck list for the Swiss.
That's
I think big. Being able to hide those cards and like not take 5 minutes at the start of every round like moves things along.
For me, the big thing is FFG is listening to the players, which I think by based upon what they made for changes, it's clear that they're actually listening to us, which I think will go really far in terms of the development and the longevity of this game. So to me, that's a really good sign, and I'm pretty pumped about that. What the nitty-gritty of the rules, I don't know all of them, but the fact that they're actually listening to the playing community, I think is going to really help us out in the long run.
And just to piggyback off that, like they're listening, but they didn't immediately, when people had an outrage, they didn't immediately change. They like got their own feedback, you know what I mean, too. So like I like that they're not just like choosing on a dime. All right, Mike.
Should be evacuate. Should be evacuate. Nope, it's Pershing. So the next this is Pershing, so the next one's evacuate. I think I found it.
Yep. Anything from you, Justin?
I think I echo what both you guys said. I'd say the other thing is what still needs to be added, it's not a rule per se, but the tournament software with like the breakers, that's a cool one.
They did say that they have a new, they're under agreement with a new breaker software provider or whatever. They didn't announce like when it's changing, but they did say that they have like a contract or something with a different tournament software provider for when organized play starts.
Oh, I wanted to pick your guys' brain on this one. I think there's a lot of good, so this is a negative one, in my opinion, is, like, I think the way the tiebreaker rule and, like, the remaining health when you win thing, like, you have to remember how much health someone had when you beat them.
Yeah, that rule's insane.
That rule is trash.
There's no way that rule stays, actually.
Yeah, that rule is just hot garbage, because now we have to pay attention to everyone's life total. Then you could also concede while somebody's, like, in the middle of casting something, at which point you're going to get into an argument over, oh, I conceded, no, I casted, you know what I mean? So like here's a tip to you: if you're about to play Vigilance and heal 5, don't tap your resource, say I play Vigilance, and then, you know, because someone could see that you're doing that theoretically.
It's like in the old
muted again. Yeah,
sorry.
Good now
in the old Decipher game, like you couldn't concede because differential was like how you won by, so you actually couldn't concede. We would have games where you'd have to go through the motions for like 10 minutes knowing you had zero chance to win. It was brutal.
Yeah.
It
was
awful. I hated that.
Yeah. So that is kind of a trash rule. And like, but like we said, they've made a lot of good changes, and hopefully that they see why this one isn't great. And also, like, if you're 30 base versus 25, that gives like kind of an advantage there, right? To the 30 base a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know if we need to have that.
So I found my box.
Yep.
It skipped over Kylo. It skipped over Evacuate.
So you get Snoke.
No, Snoke should be below, because I got to Zuri at the bottom, and like there's only rares in between. So like it could be Stolen Landspeeder, Kira, Imprisoned, Palp's Return, and there's one that isn't charted if it skips both. So I'm just going to do this whole row.
Oh, it could be a Rey.
Why do you want a Rey? I have like 9 Reys.
I'm not saying I want a Rey. I said it could be one because I remember having it.
So this is Stolen.
Yeah.
Foil Second Chance, though, Steve. Do you need that one?
Which Second Chance?
That's the Legendary Reanimator.
I think so.
Double blue.
Yeah. So this should be a Kira.
While you're cracking that, how do people feel about the like no ID double loss thing?
You called it.
It's a Rey. Yeah.
No ID double loss thing. I mean, I still dislike it.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the, you know, those are the two boogeyman for me. Like, and again, like, they're making changes, they're listening, so I'm not like going to stand on a soapbox, but those are the two that I'm kind of like,
But other than that, things are good. There's no showcase in there. That means we're drafting for actual showcases in Gen Con.
Well, I haven't opened the whole box, but I'm going to open this Palps Return because I need one.
Yeah.
That'll be savage. Yeah. I'm gonna feel really bad for like Chrono and Wu when we team draft versus them and get their showcase.
Playing for it. Hey, Mike, you know what's funny? That box is one that like I never opened because I have no MIGs, I have no Stolen Land Speeder, I have no Palps Return, and I have like no Reg. Like that whole line of the game, I didn't open. I'm like, kind of happy that I didn't open it because it's not the best stuff.
It's not that hot.
Yeah.
But like, I have zero of those rares, and I have pretty much five of everything else.
Well, that's my fifth Ray. So you could definitely take a Ray, and I have like a bunch of Stolen Land Speeders now, so you can at least have that. But I did need that Palps.
I don't need any of it.
That's true.
Isn't it crazy? Like a 4/7 on five, you're just like not excited to play. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's a difference between a leader and a follower, I guess.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the pod, unless you guys have anything else you wanted to chat about.
Did you have any rule thing you wanted to comment on, or are you
pretty good? Yeah, I mean, I like that they're making changes. I still think the double loss thing is bad. I think that the health total tiebreaker thing is really, really bad, especially since a lot of people don't use a notepad for their scores. I use the dice and the notepad, which is a lot of work, and I wouldn't expect everyone to be able to do that, you know, in a casual setting. I think, like, in the competitive scene, maybe you could expect people to do that, but I think doing the dice... Like, I do it locally because I want to practice having both the dice and the counters on the base and the pad. But, I mean, I see people struggle just to do the dice. So, I'm a little worried about it.
I think that's a good way to put it is, like, you should practice those things. And Justin is now his counter. I don't know what's going on over
there.
Oh, E-Crack and Pack? Yes. Okay. Wow, the pod that will never end. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, locally, too. Like, you just don't have enough room, too, like, to have all that set up. Like, sometimes it's enough just having your deck bought.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to crack packs? What were you doing over there, Justin?
That was weird. I was looking at my phone. And, like, I hit something that connected my phone to my camera was on my phone.
Mm. Yeah, nice. We're officially boomers with our technology.
That could have been way worse if I wasn't wearing
You could have. Yeah. You could have launched the OnlyFans right there.
All right. Well, with that, we'll close the pod. And so next stop, Gen Con. We'll see everyone at Gen Con. We'll have swag to give away to everyone. We'll have swag for our subscribers. And we'll do, we're scheduled to do a pod the Sunday we get back, which we obviously won't record, but we'll try and record something live. It might not be a full hour podcast, but maybe we'll give you like 15, 20 minutes of a special live episode of K2D Radio.
That'll be exciting.
Wait, before we sign off, two things. If you see us at Gen Con, say what's up. And also for Patreon members, stay tuned. We're going to have a meetup at some point. Booyah.
All right. Later.
Peace.